pray. There is nothing in the world, there is nothing else that matters if your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the thing that I like to thank him for the most, because he taught me that by his word. He said, you don't receive because you ask amiss. The most important thing that you should rejoice about is that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Whew. I still can't get over it, really, because when I was a young man, I didn't really serve the Lord. And if anybody knows the meaning of born again, I know what born again truly is. I really do know what born again truly is. I'm going to talk to you this morning about one of my very favorite chapters in God's Word. I know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable and useful for all aspects of life. But yet each of us seems to have favorite verses or chapters that just remind us and bring us back to our first love. And that's what I like to try to do. I like to remind people of their first love and the unction they had to live every moment for the Lord. They'd get up each day for years when they first got saved walking in that first love. They would be so excited about living for Jesus and having their name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. As years go by, some of us, though, well, we just kind of back off a little bit, don't we? We back off a little bit. We start, we still are appreciative of our name being written down. We still know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We still attend church, but we don't have that zeal. You know, I often tell people that when I got saved, my wife became a widow to a Bible reader and a prayer, because that's all I seemed to do. I just read God's word and prayed and looked to God for direction, who I could win, who I could witness to, how I could do it, that he would call them by his Spirit so that they'd be soft and their heart would be ready. And sure enough, we would meet and I would talk with that person and they would give their life to the Lord. Not because of me, but because in spite of me, he could use me. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? He can use me, and he can use you. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 11. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus. He lived in Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Martha which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother, Lazarus, was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, him whom thou lovest is sick. Now, just in case you can't bring to memory the story of Martha and Mary, it is in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. It says, now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, O Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. You see, Martha and Mary both loved the Lord, and the Lord loved both Mary and Martha. They had a brother named Lazarus, which isn't mentioned anywhere in God's Word except John chapter 11. There is another Lazarus, but that's not the same Lazarus, according to history. And Mary and Martha invited Jesus, and he came. And Mary was so overwhelmed by meeting her Lord and Savior that she knelt to his feet, and she got the anointing oil, and she poured it on his feet, and she wiped it with her hair, and she worshiped him. While her sister, Martha, did the needed chores to prepare a meal. And you know, that kind of is the way we are sometimes. Did you ever hear the expression, he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good? That's usually said by people like Martha. That are so involved in the tasks of the world that they will not let them tasks be interrupted by the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God wants to interrupt, he's welcome. If it makes me look like a fool, I'll be a fool for Jesus. Amen? I'll be a fool for Jesus. If we have to eat an hour later, because I'm going to spend some time with the Lord in prayer and his word, it's okay. But what I was saying about my wife becoming a widow to a newborn Christian walking in their first love, we had some property back there in Pennsylvania, and we had a dirt lane that went back, and there were cedar trees behind the house, about an acre of them, I suppose. And when I got saved, I used to love to talk to the Lord and let him talk to me. Talking to the Lord is a very popular thing. Letting him talk to us is not so popular anymore. But I would spend time, I would read the Word, and I'd go up there with the Bible, and I'd cut some limbs off the bottom of a cedar tree, and I would sit up against that, a real comfortable one, you know, with kind of sloping roots at the bottom, you know, and I would read the Bible and pray, God, let me understand this. This is your word. I am your son. Make me what you want me to be. And you know what? He did. He did. Hallelujah, he did. He made me when I was willing to be what he wanted me to be. And Mary, it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Father God, I come in Jesus' name, that your word would be made real in our hearts today. That for the next few minutes, I would be nothing, and you would live through me. That your people might come to know your word better, that they might come to know you better, and that we all may be more like you. And that when we leave this house, we might say that it was good to be in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Curious, isn't it? Curious that he stayed 2 days. Then after that, he said to his disciples, let us go on to Judea again. His disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Now that, again, that's a curious verse. But you know, it would really be neat if the light came from us, wouldn't it? But it doesn't. The light comes from the sun, and the spiritual light comes from Jesus. But when we walk in the dark, there is no light because we have no light in ourselves. If we want light, we've got to seek light, either from the sun or from light bulbs and electricity or from Jesus. And when we seek light from Jesus, it's a whole different kind of light. God's word tells us that you must be born again. If you aren't born again, you don't get to see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. And suddenly, darkness becomes light. And when darkness becomes light to us, we have a whole new ambition. When he says born again, it means a new life, a new heart, A new mind, new targets and new goals, new things to do in life, and all the old things are passed away. That's amazing to me that all the old things were passed away. Because I've heard people that have acknowledged that Jesus is Lord, but not be born again, let foul things slip from their mouth. Have you ever heard that? They were angry and they couldn't contain themselves. But His Word tells us that what is not in us can't come out. So if we let Him wash it out and allow Him to rule in our lives and reign in our and live in us. One of the things that always amazed me was I had one of the most foul mouths of anybody I knew. At work and lunchroom, some people would leave the lunchroom when I came in. I'm not proud of that. There was a restaurant that I would go to and people would leave when I got there because I had nothing good to say about anybody. My parents were always wrong. My boss was always wrong. The people that lived next to me, my neighbors, were always wrong. Everybody was always wrong but me. Did you ever know anybody like that that you just didn't want to be around? That was me. That was me. Just a guy that nobody wanted to be around. Cursing and swearing. And when I got saved that day, God took it out and it never slipped. If it would have been in there, if I had got upset about something, I'm sure it would have slipped, but it never did. God just washed it out. Back to His Word. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When He had heard, therefore, that he was sick, He abode 2 days. Then, after that, saith He to His disciples, let's go to Judea. And then, in verse 11, these things said He, and after that He said to them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. Then said His disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go on to him. Then said Thomas, which is Didymus, called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Now, the disciples were not talking about dying with Lazarus. See, they believed what they saw. God's Word tells us that things are not as they appear. You see, it appeared to the disciples that Jesus was committing suicide by going back to a city where he was being stoned. And so they thought they were willing to die with Jesus. But Jesus had a different idea, didn't he? Satan had an idea one day that he had me. He had me bound and chained in sin and blinded to the glory of God. Jesus had a different idea. And you know what? When Jesus has an idea and then he moves on that idea, he wins. He wins. He wins every time. One of the things that always amazes me here in this fellowship, and I've said this before to you and I'll say it again, is not the enthusiasm for the adults, for the teenagers, but the enthusiasm of the teenagers for my Lord and Savior. We have a great bunch of teenagers here. Teenagers that I can pick on and call brat and things like that. And they still love me. Isn't that nice? We have some great teens in this church. We have teens going on to ministry like we wouldn't have the opportunity to do anymore because we've passed it by at their age. I've been saved for some 28 years. That comes to over 10,000 days, by the way. And I can honestly say that there was not one day that I regretted that I was saved and that my name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. There was not one day that I regretted being a Christian. There were many days, I suppose, when I failed him. But there was never a day that I wasn't glad that Jesus was my Lord and Master of my life. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. You realize that that means that Lazarus was already dead and buried when Jesus got the news. So, if he waited 2 days, he got the message one day, tarried 2 days, the next day went, that means that Lazarus was already dead and buried when he got the news. But that didn't matter to him. That didn't have any effect on him at all. Because he's the power. He's the life. He's God. He's everything to you and to me. And he's everything to those people that don't even know. He's even everything to the Muslims. Because it is God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that lets their heart beat, lets them breathe, and lets their mind function. Lets all the exchange of oxygen go on in their bodies and nourish them with food. Even without receiving the glory for that and the honor, even any recognition, he still is their life too. He's the life of every man, woman, and child that walks, everyone that breathes. He gives life. And I'm glad he gave life to me, a different kind of life, a spiritual awakening. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem about 15 furlongs, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Do you think maybe Mary was thinking of Martha and how she kind of upset her when she anointed Jesus' feet? And she thought, maybe I'm just going to let Martha have the limelight this time. Maybe. I don't know. It doesn't say. But I thought it was kind of cool that this time Mary sat back and let Martha go. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said to her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He's going to prove it. In a few verses. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said to him, Yea, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came on to him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, had comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. That's not what happened, is it? Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore foresaw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Jesus cares about how you are every day. I'm talking spiritually, emotionally. He cares about you. Because within himself, he could have just laughed because he knew that Lazarus was coming back. He knew there was going to be joy in the camp, you know? He knew that each person was going to be so excited that they could barely contain themselves, but yet, because they wept for a moment, he wept too. How many of you know people? I mean, how many of you know people that are just lost? They're blinded to the Spirit of God. They're blinded to His Word. They have no idea that this is life. This is God's Word, preserved for us for thousands and thousands of years, that we could look into it and read the mind of Christ for our lives. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." It wasn't for Lazarus Jesus was weeping. It was because the people didn't understand the power that was in his hands. The people that knew him and knew that he was God's son didn't really know his power and that he was God. And some of them said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Maybe he said, "Take away the stone." Maybe he said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Can you imagine the body was laying there, wrapped? Rigor mortis had set in 4 days earlier and then waned. Everything in him, the blood, the lungs, the kidneys, the liver, the heart, the mind, was beginning to decay, seriously decay. You see, now there were Jews that believed that when a person was dead, that the spirit stayed with them for several days. Nor most of them thought that for 3 days the spirit stayed with them. And that's why Jesus waited 2 days, because that would mean 4 days. And even the Jews would have to admit that this man was dead. That he was dead. Jesus said to her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou shouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee thou hast heard me. And I know that you heard me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you have sent me." And when he thus had spoken, here it tells us how, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Loose him and let him go. That's what Jesus told Satan one day for us, when he wrote our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life. He looked at Satan, who, remember, was going to and fro to see who he could devour. He thought he had us, but the Spirit of God caught us, and we responded. And Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." And Satan could do nothing but loose us and let us go. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." Satan said, "Yes, okay," and backed away. And I became his, and you became his. Hallelujah. And you became his. And he took that Lamb's Book of Life there in heaven, and he wrote down the name. Lowell, Glenn, Mary. He wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you know that's the best day? That's the best day in my life. The next day I went to my friend's house. And some of this is a little bit of a repetition to 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago on a Wednesday night when I spoke. I had a friend that was so close to me that he would bid down in seniority and we would practice riding dirt bikes together. 3-4 times a week. We'd get off at 11 in the morning, we'd head to what was called the South Mountains, and we would practice dirt bikes for enduros. And we'd drink a bottle of wine or each a six-pack of beer or whatever. And I went to his house the day after Jesus loosed me and cut those chains of sin. And I pulled into his driveway on the motorcycle. Wham, bam. But I still like him. And I still like to ride him. And Don said, "Gloria, get a beer." I said, "No, thanks. I don't really want a beer." He said, "Aren't you feeling well?" I said, "No, I'm better than I've ever been in my whole life." And then he told a dirty and foul joke. And tears rolled down my cheeks into my beard. I had a beard then, by the way. When I was 17, I grew the beard. The tears ran down. And he looked at me and he said, "Oh my God, you turned over a new leaf, didn't you?" I said, "No. No, I didn't turn over any new leaf. Yesterday I got saved and born again." Hallelujah. No new leaves. Saved and born again. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Walking for Jesus. In less than 24 hours, I had come from one person that would go in and drink with him and laugh and scream and rejoice at filthy jokes and go and drink and get drunk and ride our bikes to a guy that loved Jesus and lived for him and wanted him to do everything in his life. Like that. I got down at the altar the day before. I've done a lot of hiking in my life. The longest walk I thought I ever took was from that pew back there where Don sits to here. Boy, it takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of courage to get up and say, "I want Jesus. I want to be saved and born again. I need to have a new heart and a new mind. I'm tired of living for Satan. I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of guilt and shame. I want to live for Jesus." And there I got down and I repented and I asked God to forgive me for all the things I'd done to abuse this body, including eating too much, smoking, getting drunk. Never did drugs, by the way. Always was smart enough not to do that. I repented of all the name-calling I did and the bitterness toward other people, my anger to them, and choosing who I loved and who I didn't love instead of just allowing me to love everybody. And I love you today. I love you. And I love you. And you. And you. And you. I love you. But I don't love you because we share faith. I love you because you're created in the image of my Savior. You're created in His image, just like me. It says, don't speak any evil of any man, because when you do, you're speaking evil of the only thing created in His image. The only thing created in God's image is us. Day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, day seven. And God created man out of the dust of the earth in His likeness. And again, this is a little bit repetitious, but I always envision that God in the Father in heaven looked down on Lake Superior. That was before I lived out here. Even when I lived in Pennsylvania, I envisioned that it was Lake Superior. And He saw His image. And He made Himself small and tiny in that image. And He looked. And He formed. And then He breathed His own life into that little figure. and his image came to life. And it was man and woman. It was us. It was us. And he proved that again when Jesus was born to a natural woman, but to God as the Father, and Jesus looked like us. So we are in the image of God. We really are. I'd like everybody to just kind of form a circle, take hands, in a big circle. Just get up, take hands in a circle. I'll be right here. Somebody go to my right, some to my left. And we'll just make a big oval circle or something. I'm going to pray the prayer that I best, as good as I can remember it, some 28 years ago. I'm not going to expect you to pray along out loud, but if you'd like to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and be born again today and have your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you're not sure that that's the case, if you just think those words that I say and then confess Jesus as your Lord, it'll happen for you today. You'll be brand new, washed white as snow. Dear Father God, I come in Jesus' name, and I repent of all the sin that I've committed. I'm sorry, Lord, for all the times that I've talked bad about my parents, my siblings, my neighbors, and all the other people in my life. I repent, Lord, of all the sin that I've committed by torturing this temple that you live in with alcohol and smoking and drugs. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for all the times that I knew the right thing to do and didn't do them because it just wasn't convenient. Lord, I'd ask that you come into my heart and my mind, wash them both as white as snow. Cause me to be pure and holy in your name. Make me your son. I recognize that at the cross of Calvary, the blood of Jesus was shed for me. And by his stripes I am healed. And that as he went back to heaven and sent the Holy Ghost, that it would give me power. And I thank you, God, for that power of God in me. And I would ask, Father, that right now you would set me loose. Cut me loose and set me free in Jesus' name. And make me yours. Amen and amen. I'd like to teach you a little course that is really, really simple. Lorraine, I'll need you. See, I need you, honey. Married 37 years. We waited long. We waited till we were older to get married, as you can see. We were 17. It goes like this. I'll sing it through once, then we will sing it through once, and then I'd like you to join me, okay? The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. Through all life's frustrations, I need you, and I know I do. Yes, the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. Through all life's frustrations, I need you, and I know I do. Yes, the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. One more time, softly. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you.
that I have, dear Lord, is in you. Through all life's frustrations, I need you, and I know I do. Yes, the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you.
Now sing it out. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. Let's start over. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. Through all life's frustrations, through all life's frustrations, I need you, and I know I do. Yes, the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. Thank you, Father, that we can enjoy your presence in our house today, in your house, Lord. Thank you for your word and the way you wrote it, that we can compare it to our lives. Thank you, Lord, for giving it to us and saving it for us in a way that is just so supernatural that we can read it and it becomes part of our hearts and minds. Lord, we would ask that you would go with us now to witness to those around us that are lost. In Jesus' name, amen.